Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm always tempted to hear that passage, that last little bit, when first I read it, as a warning to the rich, and so therefore something that does not apply to you and I, because we are not rich, not by the standards, perhaps, of our country. But when we look at the world as a whole, and we consider the peoples of all the earth, we recognize that we, in our place of privilege, of relative privilege, although we lack for many things, we are quite wealthy compared to so many, and we are quite fortunate, and so those words of caution are for us to not become too proud, to not place too much of our faith and trust in money, which is so easily lost, but to place our trust in God, and to, out of the blessing and the abundance that we have, to do, as John Wesley would say, all the good we can for all the people we can and all the ways we can, and on and on. When I went to Ecuador on my first mission trip in 2007, I encountered this sense of generosity among the poor in a way that we are hard-pressed to see quite often among the middle class and the wealthy in our country and in our circles. When we were doing kind of like a prep for our arrival, we met together as a group several times, and we met together as a group even once we had entered the country, but before we went to our homestays. And we were told to be aware of the fact that our host families would offer to us extraordinary, dare we say, extravagant generosity in giving us an entire bed to ourselves to sleep in, for example, which for my host family was something that no one got. In giving us the first choice and the largest portion of the food at each and every meal, to the point where some members of the family ate very little, and that we were to accept this generosity, being aware of the fact that it was such extravagant generosity, but that to refuse it or to turn it down would be impolite and would be a betrayal of the hospitality that was being offered to us. And so to accept the generosity, and if we felt that we could not in good conscience, for example, eat everything placed before us, to not to say, oh no, your children should eat, but to say, I'm full, and to make a way for that food to be shared, but to be sure to understand that even though it was so much more than they could afford to give, that we were to receive it with graciousness and allow them to give that gift. It was an amazing feeling to receive from this family. I was there staying with a family who did not have a home, and our mission project was to build. We built 6 homes, and theirs was one of them. But they were living in what, once their home was built, became a chicken coop. And there were 9 children and a mother, and they all had kind of piled into one, I don't know, full-size bed when it was time to sleep, and I had another kind of twin-size bed in this small kind of lean-to space. And when I was preparing to go on this trip, the congregation where I was serving at the time, St. Paul's in Castleton, New York, had gathered some money to support the cost of the trip. But then a few members of the congregation wanted to do more, and so they'd gathered together about $200 just in addition and said, you know, find a way, if you can, to do some act of generosity in addition to just being there. But we'd been told not to leave money for our families, that again, that sense of their being able to offer hospitality would be disrespected if we kind of paid for our visit, even though I stayed in their home for a week and ate their food, that my work and labor in helping to build their house was the exchange for that, but to just leave money would be considered impolite. But what I noticed was that, you know, we're constructing this home, which eventually would have two bedrooms, essentially one for the females and one for the males, and there were two beds. There were nowhere near enough beds for all of those children. And I thought, my family really needs more beds. That's what they need. They have a home now, but they don't all have places to sleep, and I wonder how I can get them more beds. And I thought about that for a few days and couldn't come up with any way to do that. And then one of the men who was working on the work site, one of the Ecuadorian men who was working there, Carlos, told me one time, and we're communicating in my very broken Spanish at the time, that he was a carpenter, but he hadn't received projects in quite a while, and times were tight because nobody was buying what he made. And I asked him what he made, and he said he made furniture. And a little light bulb went off, and I thought, oh, maybe I could pay Carlos to make beds for my family. And so I got somebody who spoke much better Spanish to help me negotiate this interaction, and I used the $200 that my congregants had given me to make a difference in some concrete way. And I hired Carlos to build bunk beds for my host family, the Mera family. And when I went back a year later, I was able to see the bunk beds, these really nice beds with a ladder and everything, that he had made for that family. The members of my congregation, however, never saw those beds. And they saw pictures and heard stories, but I don't believe any of them will ever go to that part of the barrio in Guayaquil and see the beds that their money provided. The best they could do, and that's even quite significant, was to hear the story, both at the time and then a year later, about how they had made a difference. But their act of generosity, given in a way that was hospitable and that did not undermine the generosity of others, but was a part of it, a dialogue of it, made a difference in the lives of children in Ecuador. Bishop Robert Schneezy, I think he's a bishop, and you're supposed to pronounce their names correctly, but he's not my bishop, so I don't know. But I think it's Schneezy. Wrote a book of five practices of fruitful congregations, faith communities that are growing and vibrant and alive, where people are experiencing transformation and a deepening of their faith. And one of the practices, one of the attributes that he spoke about was extravagant generosity. And we'll be speaking about generosity, focusing on generosity for the next few weeks, and how that practice is not something that we do, really, but it's something that we become. We become generous. We become generous people. And that is part of our spiritual lives, not just something we do, but someone we are. And how that generosity comes from our hearts. Certainly when we give, when we're able to give, whether it's some money for a fuel fund or to help someone in our community, whether it's to buy holiday gifts for families that can't afford them or beds for children in other parts of the world, it feels good. It feels wonderful. And we feel it in our hearts. I was talking to a friend about this week and how we feel that. We feel love. Literally, like in our hearts, in our chests. And I was like, I don't understand that. You know, like medically, I can't make sense of that. But that's where we feel it. We feel love and compassion and generosity and tenderness in that center part of ourselves. You can feel it kind of expanding in your chest when you've done something, when you've lived with love and generosity. Now, in his book specifically on extravagant generosity, there's a little devotional guide, and Bishop Schneezy says that the opposite of generosity is greediness or selfishness. But I'm going to disagree with that, if I may, and say that I feel that the opposite of generosity or living in generosity is a kind of anxiety or fear. And fear is something that I feel as well in my body, but not in my heart. I feel it like in my gut, like in my stomach, that anxious, icky feeling of fear. Now, I have some fear and reactivity in my life, particularly lately, and I have some worry A lot of it financial, a lot of it about what I'm able to give and do, and how open I want to be with the world, and how much of myself I can put out there, and all of those things. And I recognize when I'm in that place, I recognize that fear, I feel it in my stomach, I feel it in my gut. And I know that it's not generosity and kindness and love, because it feels so different. It feels anxious and lower in that kind of pit of your stomach. And so the challenge for me is to pull out of that fear and pull out of that anxiety and get back up into my heart, back up into the place where love and service and kindness and generosity live, because those things live in the heart and flow from the heart. As I was saying to the children, they flow from the heart in ways that touch people near and far, right? Like the acorn seeds that fall under the shadow of an oak tree, and they grow. They grow in the shade and protection of that tree. And when the older tree has run its course, it gives way for the new generation of forest that is growing underneath it and nurtures and nourishes and tends it. And that's our ministry. That's our gift to our community. That's the gift of those who've gone before in this faith community. You, in a sense, are the acorns that have been dropped here at Trinity and grew in the protection and shelter of those who've gone before, and their legacy and their ministry nourishes us still. And then there are those ministries and those gifts that scatter far and wide, like the helicopter seeds of the maple trees, that go out from the tree that we may never see. Like when we send funds or resources or help to Haiti following earthquakes, to Ecuador on mission trips, to other parts of the country ravaged by hurricane, and receive those seeds of blessing from others when our part of the country was ravaged by hurricane. And we may not see those ministries ever take root or ever grow up into beautiful, expansive trees that will drop their own seeds, but that sense of abandon, of selflessness that just gives and does not care where, there is such fearlessness in that. There is such fearlessness in both the giving to our communities nearby and giving to the world at large, because we have to let go when we give. We can't hold it close to us, even those seeds that fall nearby. We can't hold on to them in our anxiety and fear in the pits of our stomach, but we have to let them be free and let them go so that they can grow in our protection, or so that they can grow out on their own in the world somewhere. Our church does ministry here that impacts future generations of folks who will worship here at Trinity and will come together in ministry through the programs and resources of this community. Our church does ministry in Montpelier and Barrie and Central Vermont, helping folks very nearby and encouraging faith and new life and new discipleship to grow. And our church does ministry around the country and around the world, reaching out like those helicopter seeds. Schnazzy's son described those seeds as seeds with wings. Sometimes our ministry takes wing, and it soars to places that we would never go. But all of those ministries come from our heart, from our center, from that place where we feel the expansive love and goodness and generosity that it means to live as God's people, and that it means to live as those who've been blessed and beloved and nurtured and tended by generations before and by the divine of the universe. You should have received a heart, and I'll invite you this morning to write on it a ministry, a mission, a program, an activity of Trinity, or perhaps of another place that you are a part of that you know of, whether it's a ministry that happens close to home and that changes lives here among this congregation or in the community of Montpelier and very nearby, or a ministry that transforms lives and spirit and faith around the world, or anything in between. But something that you love, something that our church does that you feel comes from your heart, or something that you do, a ministry that you do, that you feel comes from your heart, and to celebrate that sense of giving from the very center of yourselves. What do you do? What do we do that gives you joy? That you feel that expanse of love in your chest, not in the worry in the pit of your stomach? What do you do that you set free into the world as acorns or as seeds with wings to transform the life around us? The author of 1 Timothy instructs those who have something, to put their trust not in that something, but to give it away, to share it, so that they may know the abundance and fullness of life. May we give thanks for those ministries that come from our hearts and share them with the world in abundance and joy. Amen.